Welcome to iHeartGeek.
And welcome to the very first Loki episode, episode one. Oh my God.
So good.
Let me do the introductions. We're going to have kind of a rotating cast a little bit this time, but right now we have me, I'm Dub, and I'm here with Courtney and Michelle, and we are going to rock this thing out of the freaking ballpark.
Heck yeah. That's a lot of pressure.
How can you not? This episode.
No, I got a lot in there.
Was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Before we start, let's ask this real quick. What were you guys expecting going in?
I don't know. No, you're fine. No, I was just gonna say I don't know because, I mean, obviously I saw, you know, you watched the preview and stuff. I just did not. I had not any clue what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Courtney?
I think after the craziness of WandaVision, and then the complete change of tone and style and everything with Winter Soldier, I had no expectations because at this point in time with these Marvel TV shows, it's like, what are you going to give me, Marvel?
I'll take whatever you give me.
Let me see what you got.
Yeah, it does no good to guess.
I was so happy with this. It was nothing that I was expecting. It was, for lack of a better term, it's kind of slow to start. But this is definitely on a ramp up. You can tell it. So it's very forgivable for me. So
it packs a serious punch for essentially a pilot episode.
Yeah. Well, here's my one problem. They did the WandaVision thing when they're, how much of it are they just doing to throw the fans off, and how much of it are they doing for it's important to the show?
Well, I think we have to remember with WandaVision that a lot of stuff was actually put in and then it wasn't followed through because things changed for other projects. I mean, we know for a fact that Doctor Strange was supposed to show up in the end, in the finale of WandaVision, and then they decided not to do that. So, I mean, I think we may be seeing a little bit of this with this one where stuff is planted. And I mean, I think a lot of the stuff that was planted in WandaVision, I think is still going to come to fruition. I mean, we all know Marvel plays the long game.
Yeah. Well, my biggest issue with this going into it is what Feige said last week. This is going to be the most important television show that's going to change everything for the Marvel universe. And that kind of pissed me off. I'm like, dude, don't set that's kind of like the, Paul, whatever his name is, Vision saying, you know, I get to work with the greatest actor I've ever seen. This kind of feels like that to me. And
I don't know. I mean, we get to that point. I mean, when we get to that point in the show, when we get to that scene, I will tell you that's why I think Feige said what he said. But when we get to it,
I know where you're going on that.
Okay. Yeah.
So just so everyone is aware, in case you have never caught any of our reaction videos that we do on the weeklies, we basically try to go scene by scene, and maybe there'll be a lot to say in the scene and maybe there won't. And we just kind of give each other a lot of crap because we miss things, because that's half the fun of it, you know? So, so on to scene one. I think this is flawless integration that shows the Avengers, which I think is just fantastic with the going into the Avengers movie and you see Loki disappear. I loved this. And it felt, even though we've seen the movie, it still felt different. Or was that just me?
It's because we're from the point of view of Loki this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was different, but same. But I liked it. I like how they did that. It's really cool.
Okay, so jumping right on to scene two, and then we see Loki disappear, which we all saw in the movie, and he appears a couple minutes later, so we didn't care. It's like, okay. So this was definitely planned for a while. But then we see Loki in Mongolia, which was a little stereotypical to me.
It's a throwback to Iron Man. Yeah, it's a throwback to Tony in the desert in Iron Man.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm going to do some Tuvan throat singing, you know, just to really get that stereotype in there. But sorry. And then we get our first view of the Time Variance Authority. Now, this is an interesting choice. None of these soldiers, I think we'll call them soldiers, are fit at all. Nobody looks hardcore. Nobody looks like a warrior. And I'm guessing that that's going to have to talk more about it with the Time Variance Authority later. But I thought that was my first thought on it. I'm like, wow, well, what did they just pull from the extras or what?
Now, is this something that as a non-comic book reader, I would have to assume is odd that they don't look don't look like that? You sound surprised.
No.
Okay. Because for me, I mean, I kind of just, from what I know of it, like I kind of just thought of the TVA as kind of like an agency or something like that. So I guess they looked I guess to me they looked fine, but
yeah. Well, I agree with Michelle. It's supposed to be a bureaucracy.
Yeah, it is.
It's the DMV for time.
Although I just figured that the agents would be more a little bit have that killer eye, and none of them have it at all. And that's okay. That's what struck me. I said there's nothing wrong with it. That's just okay. So they're all agents at a desk. I understand. No biggie. Not bad. Not good. Just it is. Now scene. Huck, go ahead.
No, I kind of like it because Loki's reaction to them is kind of like, yeah, what are you going to do? You know, because they aren't, they're very unassuming, you know, so you're looking at them and they're like, yeah, what are they going to do? And they do. So.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was a good call for them. Again, that was just my first, we're going to get a lot of first impressions on this episode. Yeah. So scene three, we got Loki in bureaucratic hell. I hope we see more of the receptionist. He's from Tacoma Fire Department and a bunch of other stuff.
The minute I saw that scroll standing in the lobby, my first thought was, oh, Dub's going to hate this.
I hated it, but I forgave it because it's only for 2 seconds. And it's a variant, so they're going to kill it anyway. So I'm okay with it.
It's literally the whole episode.
Kill the scroll.
I saw that scroll and I'm like, oh, God, Dub's going to have a cow.
Did I put it in my notes? No, I didn't.
No, I was waiting for it though.
No,
I was prepped.
Big surprise to everybody. I hate scrolls.
You hate scrolls.
They ruin the Marvel universe. Period.
It's almost frightening how much you hate them.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, I do.
It's like some deep sea. I'm like, who hurt you? I mean, like, really?
The scrolls. The scrolls touched me. It's bad. Okay. Now, when they were going through his processing, the robot with the icon face made me laugh so hard.
So cute.
It's got the little frowny, like, what are you doing?
Oh, my God.
It was so 80s. It was amazing.
Everything is like, it's like the interior of a 70s airport. It's late amazing. 60s,
early 70s, yeah.
Right, like it's freaking amazing. Yeah. Like you half expect a Pan Am stewardess to pop out of a door somewhere. It's like Mad Men on acid.
It's so cool. But it's also like advanced at the same time, but it's like not. And then you've got these random things like that are just like,
it's a bad. There's elements I definitely want to do next time I redecorate my house.
Right, so cool. Like those round lights. I mean, just rad. It's rad.
Freaking cool.
I love it. Yeah. But okay. I would like to thank Marvel for the almost naked Tom Hiddleston.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait till we see the Black Widow and you guys get mad at me. But yeah, just remember this moment. Okay.
No, no, it is equal opportunity.
Equal opportunity.
I would probably be like, yeah, I mean, I can appreciate hotness all around. I'm just saying today or this episode was for Courtney and I, apparently.
So. Okay. So we go down to the next level of hell. Is this Nick Cage's cat?
That's Nick Fury? Because I'm not sure Nicolas Cage has a cat.
You knew what I meant. I always do that. Oh my gosh.
It's not
Nick Cage in this movie.
Right. It's not Goose. No. I know you would think it was Goose because you've only watched Captain Marvel once. Goose is a tabby. But oh, okay. That doesn't mean this cat is not a Flerkin, though.
The alien, yeah, that's going to take
the out the Flerkin, yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was a nice callback. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it was there's just no, a cat. I mean, there's,
right. And sometimes a cat's just a cat.
I thought it was really interesting with, and I don't think they would have shown the cat if it was just a cat. I thought it was kind of interesting the sign that this is everything you've ever said. Now, and then, you know, the joke goes, what are you talking about? And this, what? And this. And then he signs it all without reading it. I thought that was an interesting, because he could have wasted as much time as he wanted in there and come up with a plan.
It's boilerplate. So you never, no, people don't ever read boilerplate. They just sign it.
Fair enough.
It's like a terms of service.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, Michelle, yeah, I read it.
It's just, and what, did I say that? Oh, she was lying, you know? Right. and then we go down to another level. Is there a timeline, do you think, that Loki didn't take the ticket?
No, because you have to remember, this isn't a timeline. This the time doesn't exist in the TVA. It's a variant who wouldn't take the ticket.
Okay, so is there another Loki variant that didn't take the ticket?
Who the hell knows?
This is just crap that I was thinking about when I was watching it.
Who the hell knows?
I can't imagine. If that guy wouldn't have been in there, he wouldn't have taken the ticket if the first guy had.
I do like the sign behind that guard. I don't know if you guys noticed. It said, take the ticket or you're going to get your clock clean.
I didn't see it. I'm gonna have to watch that again.
There was so many like cool things like that, but I liked that scene. I liked it a lot because he's just, and then he's like looking for his ticket.
Now, this we talk about exposition a lot whenever we talk about Marvel movies. This exposition was the best exposition, animated exposition, and it felt like an 80s comic book, and it was.
It looked like 80s comic.
It did. That was definitely the Claremont style.
Oh yeah, so good.
You know, and it was entertaining without being too much. Because if we would have had Owen Wilson saying this stuff, you would have been bored.
Yeah. Well, you know? I have two things about that. Well, one, I think it's important to remember, and Dub, I think you mentioned it on when we were watching when we were doing WandaVision, but we may have mentioned it on Winter Soldier, is the original order was supposed to go Winter Soldier, WandaVision, Loki.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, because in the exposition part, first off, the voice of Miss Minutes is Tara Strong, if anybody knows.
Oh, was it?
Yep. She's Tommy Pickles, and she's
done she's everything.
She's everything.
She's the second best Harley Quinn. Yeah.
But she talks about how it's set at the beginning of the Nexus, the timelines were created and they shot off into a multiverse. And if they're not connected together and they don't stay on the timeline, it will go into madness.
So is what you're saying is everything that we said about WandaVision is correct?
What?
I wanted to give myself a little pat.
What?
We earned it.
You mean when we mentioned the Nexus in the commercial in WandaVision being about the Big Bang and the creation of the mutants and leading to the multiverse of madness? We were right?
You know, there's certain people that aren't on the show today, but will be, that completely disagreed with us.
What?
Completely. This, I feel like I am just like.
And see, I'm in an awesome position because I just plead like ignorance. So it's like, sure, you guys, like I totally agreed the whole time.
Yeah. You bought into everything we said because you didn't know no better.
I didn't know no better.
I just had to bring, because they literally say it, Nexus, multiverse, madness.
Yeah.
It all hooks into one. I'm like, see, that's that was me.
And of course they mentioned the multiverse war, which means Secret Wars did happen.
Secret Wars did happen.
It did happen. It's not going to happen. It did happen.
Yeah.
Do you know how big this, Michelle, I hope you read Secret Wars. Because this is huge that this happened. Huge.
And part of Jane Foster part of Jane Foster becoming Lady Thor in the next Thor movie is part of Secret Wars. So
it's going to have to happen again.
Yeah.
Now
Michelle's reading list keeps growing.
No more Vampirella. You got to read the Marvel stuff now too.
Oh, come on.
Now, when they're talking about the sacred timeline, this is when I'm like, okay, the TVA isn't just a bureaucracy; it is a cult. These people, the sacred timeline is like God. It's wow, the reverence they have for it. It's a bit much.
I didn't read that.
Really? What did you read on that?
I just saw it as a bureaucracy. Is it like I literally said the DMV?
DMV. And I see that.
Yeah,
it's a well organized cult. Like, you know, I can't say because I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
everybody knew what I was going to say though.
I don't see the cultness of it, but maybe I will later on. But I don't feel that now.
That's since it's a bureaucracy, we're going to talk about it.
Since it's a bureaucracy, I tend to look at it as, you know, the far, like they've gone over the edge.
Yeah,
like there's kind of the normal, and then they're over here.
Well, it's a corporate situation.
Let me throw this in there. Yeah. Let me throw this in there. We're jumping ahead a little bit, but when he's in the courtroom, he goes, So are you the authority? She goes, no, but I'm part of the authority. I speak for the authority. That is kind of that creepy, no blinking cult out in the desert in the 70s with the 9,000 wives. That's we're not the authority. We're part of the authority.
But that's, judges are part of the authorities. How it works
just,
in a
that's
in
just why
the legal
I see this
system
as a cult.
As well.
But we'll see more
about
as we go.
The judicial system today on iHeartGeek.
Let's not, because I have nothing good to say. Okay, let's go on to scene 4.
Is this the court?
Almost.
Oh, okay.
Well, I want there's two things that we wanted to hit.
Yeah, I get it.
With scene 4, when we see, we finally meet Owen Wilson. And he's Detective Mephisto, or Mephisto, he's not different.
Mobius.
I'm sorry, that leads me to my next point. Did you see in the stained glass who that was?
We're going to argue
it's
about
not
that.
We're going to argue.
Mephisto.
It is not him.
Nope.
It's Mephisto.
Nope.
Not going to change my mind on this.
It's Loki. Okay.
Loki has never been read in any incarnation.
But it is a homage to, it is... It's Loki. It was meant to be a representation of Loki. Go look it up, dude.
I think it's interesting if it is.
The director. The director has even.
I don't trust them.
Yeah. Well, because there's a couple reasons. Michelle, I'm sure you saw this with me. First off, he has the horns, obviously, but he's also wearing green. The devil is rarely depicted in stained glass art as being wearing green. And when he asked the little girl, who I bet you dollars to donuts was supposed to be Joan of Arc, it's around the same time. And that's just me. I'm sure that was not true, but that's just a Courtneyism. But
let's just go with it.
He says, "Who did this?" And she points to that picture. Well, we know that the variants. I mean, we don't know yet, but we find out that the variant that does all of this stuff is Loki. It's another variant of Loki. Allegedly. The stained glass, I agree with Michelle, the stained glass is not Mephisto.
You could have just given me my Mephisto moment. I probably would
have
shut up about the rest of the series.
You can have it. You can
I listen to your Mephisto moments throughout WandaVision, and it's not happening.
I wasn't the only one with Mephisto moments, Courtney.
I was doing it
now
too.
I'm here.
I was doing it too, Michelle. We can't blame him solely for Mephisto. I was on the Mephisto train.
Okay, I know. All right.
But I'm getting off the Mephisto train.
Okay.
In this moment.
Now let's go to court. Yeah.
He's like, change the subject.
There's a lot in this I don't want to get out.
All right, go.
So we're in the courtroom. And go ahead and say what you want to say about the courtroom, because there's the scene afterwards that just broke me. So go ahead.
Well, I just have two things. There is a Stanley cameo in the courtroom.
What? And I missed it?
Yeah, it goes by really fast. The murals on the wall
Yeah.
He's in the one closest to the door. So the first, he's the first one. He's the first one that, if you didn't think I was sitting here watching this crap frame by frame, you'd be wrong. so there's that. But I also think it's important to point out for our comic book readers, but also for our non-comic book readers, the judge, her name is Ravonna Ravonna Renslayer. Well, Ravonna Renslayer falls in love with Kang, the Conqueror, who we know is showing up in the next Ant-Man film.
Mm-hmm.
So look her up, guys.
And if you don't
the actress Gugu Mbatha-Raw she was a great choice for this character. If they open her up.
She seems so familiar to me.
She was in the Beauty and the live action Beauty and the Beast. She was the Feather Duster. And then she was in something else, and I unfortunately can't remember exactly what it is right off the top of my head.
Now let's go back one step, and that just with the Kang thing. If you don't think Kang the Conqueror looks exactly like the time
authority, he looks like the three timekeepers on the wall. Yep,
exactly. So I think that's an interesting take.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay, so now I want to go on to Mobius saves Loki, but the watching Loki, and even when he was in court, seeing him faced with his own significance, it was hard to watch. It literally bummed me out.
Yeah, but it's so cool to see a character like him going through that, right? Having these emotions and these reactions and I don't know. I
think it was awesome, but my problem, and I don't think it's a problem because I think that's what they wanted to do, but my issue, you know, my emotional issue in it is not the fact that he was humbled, because I want to see Loki humbled. Everybody wants to see Loki humbled. It's that he became insignificant. And you could just see in his mind, and you could see in his eyes, something changed at that second. And it's like, ow.
He realizes when Mobius, by the way, who's named after a Mobius strip,
mm-hmm.
which is the key to time travel. It's a continuous loop. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
He's also one of the dreaming. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, his name is literally Mobius M. Mobius. That's his full name. And Owen Wilson was a great choice for this character.
Wasn't he? And who would have thought of him?
You know, Marvel, we've said it before. It's begs saying it again. Marvel knows how to cast.
Yes, they do.
They pick the perfect people for these characters. But sorry, Beck, when Mobius is showing Loki everything, his future life, I did not expect to be punched in the gut in the first episode of this show, but Marvel just decided
you're gonna go with that.
Yeah, I mean, but they
can we wait on that, because I know what you want to talk about.
Just decided they were gonna hurt me right off the bat,
and it was painful. So, yeah, we jumped a little ahead, and I don't want
I don't want
to lose that moment.
I do want to say, I think in this episode, this season, this scene, correct me if I'm wrong, they mentioned the other and the others. I think it's worth noting that the assistant, Thanos' assistant in the Avengers, and I think
they call them the others.
His name is the other. Literally named the other. He's in Avengers. He's in one other one. I think Loki actually kills him in the Avengers. I don't remember.
I think he does. I'm not positive.
But yeah, so I mean, that's worth looking at.
Okay. Now, when they walked outside of the courtroom and you see the city, it goes from 60s, 70s decor hell into the Guardians of the Galaxy cutting edge technology. This is what the future looks like. It's like, that is some dichotomy right there.
I love the line too. He's like, I thought there wasn't any magic here. He's just, there isn't.
They're just really smart.
Yeah, it's not magic.
Yeah.
What does that say? Tomorrow's science is yesterday's magic. something yeah. like that.
Something like that.
Okay, let's see. I already said that the TVA is a cult. So we got the interrogation scene. Now, first thing, I want to mention this real quick. Josta cans. Does anybody else remember Josta? It was a terrible soda. There was only 1992 through, I believe, 1995. So
95 through 99.
So where does that tell you where this timeline is going through?
And it's not the timeline. No, this.
See, we're going to disagree with you all day.
Okay. Right. Well, I mean, but this, I mean, clearly this universe just, or wherever the TVA is just a mix of everything.
So
because.
Why is that the soda you want to bring back? Bring back Tab.
I guess it's a Mobius thing. I guess he digs it.
Or Jolt. Bring back Jolt.
Gross.
Everybody at the TVA would be running around.
They'll all be hyper.
I kind of took it as a Mobius thing. Like, so would it go against the timeline for him to be like, I'm going to go back to 1995 and grab me some
Josta.
He probably did
because he knows that in the sacred timeline, it's not going to last very long. So he's like,
at all.
I got to go pack.
So it would be,
that might be something with it. Yeah.
So it would be within the rules, right? Like he could totally go shopping and then.
Right. You know, he pops back.
Does it still make you vomit in that timeline? In the sacred timeline?
Probably.
That stuff was so terrible.
It was gross. Oh. It was gross.
I never tried it.
And he clearly kind of tasted like ketchup. Because there's like three cans.
Oh, he liked it. That's his beverage of choice.
That's his vice. His
clearly, he's
vice.
Pounding that stuff.
Maybe maybe to the TVA, that's like. Whiskey?
I think it's just a Mobius thing.
I think it's funny. I think
we're going to see it as a Mobius thing.
That is such a weird thing.
Chugging that stuff the entire season.
It's such a weird thing for me to fixate on, but I did. So I don't know. Now, I loved Mobius, and this is different from what happened in the court and the different from what when we see it when he's playing the reel to reel. But seeing Mobius twist Loki's brain like no one else ever has, that was humbling. And that wasn't the too much moment to me. That was, yeah, I want to see this. You deserve this. You know, you're the god of what? Mischief? This isn't mischief.
Well, he was.
You're here to be a failure.
He was smart because he used his greatest weapon against Loki. And that was showing him Frigga's death and showing him that it was his fault.
Yeah.
Because Loki hasn't experienced that yet. I do like one line that he says to him before this. He says, I can't offer you salvation, but maybe I can offer you something better.
Yeah.
It's a good line. And you know how I am about the words.
Which makes you wonder about this. Is this going to change the Marvel timeline? And he's going to tell the Dark Elf to go to the right instead of the left. Or the left instead of the right.
No, because the whole point of the TVA is to make sure that the timeline goes the way it's supposed to. And according to the sacred timeline. Now, there's no saying what will happen at the end. It's a multiverse. The sacred timeline can be shattered all to pieces at the end of this thing. But right now...
What I want you to do is flash forward in your mind or behind whatever to when you the last time you watched the Thor the Dark World, and think about that scene where you saw Loki tell him which way to go. You can see in his eyes that he did not want to.
No, I don't agree.
I do. I went back and I watched it again because of that. And I'm like,
you have to remember that Loki is the right Loki.
I think that is this Loki.
Yes, but that Loki doesn't, the variant Loki doesn't know what's going to happen there. And it's not like he's magically going back to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, but that is not, I think this variant Loki is the Loki we're going to keep with. With that
dear
being,
listeners,
this is theory.
Dove and I are going to fight this whole season. I can just tell.
I
please
really
email your.
I think
please
that this.
Your
I think this Loki.
Directly
I think this Loki
Tom.
Will be the Loki, and this Loki is going to do what he has to do, even though it's going to kill him to do it. Because he's not flashing. Because Loki's not flashing. I think Loki, the one we see, is flashing back. Not the one that's on the show hasn't seen this yet. So he's going to have to experience this.
Yeah, I don't agree.
No,
we'll see by the end.
You could be right. You're probably not, but you could be right.
Because I'm trying to follow. Children,
yes, mom.
Gosh, I will pull this car over.
These shows are going to go so long. Oh my gosh! Pull this podcast
no, over. I'm just saying. Like, I'm following. So, time travel in shows and movies like melts my brain. I have a really hard time with it. So, I have to try and kind of follow like the threads, and it just doesn't make sense that the Loki in Dark World would be the one that we have now. In this series, it just doesn't add up to me.
We'll see.
So if listeners can sort of help,
but don't really try. Tell me something though, and this may be fan casting, but don't you want to see this Loki that we're gonna follow, that's going to learn all these lessons? Isn't that the one that you want to be following for the rest of his timeline, and not somebody that we have no idea who it is?
I just met this Loki. I need a little more time before I commit.
I've already fallen in love with this Loki.
But I mean, I might have a crush, but I, you know, let's see how this goes.
But
a while.
I think we also have to remember that the timeline that you're talking about has already happened. It's already done and over with.
Mm-hmm.
So unless the TVA plops him back into a later time, a past world, or he figures out how to get himself there, then it can't happen that way. But on the other hand of that, we don't know what's going to happen at the end of this.
We know it's going to blow up the timeline.
Right. The timeline is probably going to be shattered to pieces, mm-hmm. because it also has to set up the multiverse of madness.
Yes, exactly.
And I mean, without a multiverse and billions of little tributaries and rivers of time.
Now, okay, let's move on. Let's talk about the DB the DB Cooper scene. I love this. I love the reference. But who the heck says, "Hey, you know what? We don't have a reference over the MCU." DB Cooper. I think all the kids are talking about.
It's actually using it is, but using DB Cooper in this scene and that whole scenario was actually brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought.
I agree.
Oh, I enjoyed it. It was just,
I agree.
That's such a weird reference to pull out of nowhere.
It's like, totally, yeah, it's totally random, but it Loki's works.
DB Cooper, who else is
I think that's
because nobody knows.
That's the point right there, Dub, is like, who else was he throughout history? And I mean, he even says it. He like, Bobby looks at him and goes, "You were DB Cooper." And he's like, "I was young.
It was
and
a
I
bet.
Lost a bet with Thor."
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's the Marvel equivalent of "I was drunk."
Yeah.
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 Okay. Scene 7, Loki escapes. I'm not trying to ignore y'all. Just scene 7, Loki escapes. So how many variants or screw ups has the TVA collected with so many Infinity Stones?
I don't think they've collected variants with Infinity Stones.
They've killed them.
I think they have Infinity Stones, because I think when something happens, like the Sorcerer Supreme shows us in Endgame or whatever it is, Endgame, where she plucks one and it moves off. I think every time an Infinity Stone goes awry, somebody from the TVA pops back down and sends in one of those paperweights.
But they weren't all stones either. They weren't all the complete stones. They were in different, different stages of being torn down into stone. If you look at, they're all different.
I think they drop them off when something
happens. Some of them are in different things. Like, I don't know if you saw the tiny one in the cross.
Well, and there's also
like Ronan, like Ronan did. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a medal in there, a baseball card.
Which looks like Walker's medal that he pins to the back of his fakey shield in Winter Soldier.
So what happened on that timeline? I want to watch this timeline now. Gosh dang it.
One thing that's interesting, because I know there's been a lot of people going, you mean Nat and Vision died for nothing? Because he called them paperweights. One thing you also have to remember is Infinity Stones. This is comic book lore, nerds. Stay with me. Infinity Stones don't work outside the universe that they belong in.
Mm-hmm.
There was even, Dub, I'm sure you remember, there was a crossover. God, I don't know how long, 80s?
The DC one?
With Marvel and DC. Yeah, yep. Where Darkseid actually held the Infinity Stones. They didn't work.
Yeah, it was nothing.
So the only place they work is the universe that they are dropped into. So into this sacred timeline. That's why they're paperweights at the TVA.
Yeah.
They have power in the universe. So no, Nat and Vision didn't die for nothing.
Stop. Stop assigning stuff. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. And then my final part on this, when he's watching the end of the reel to reel, and I want you guys to honestly ask this question. What does seeing your own death do to the psyche of a being like Loki that believes he is forever?
Can we just mention really quickly the phenomenal array of acting on Hiddleston's part?
Yes.
From the Frigga's death scene all the way up to the scene you're talking about where he sees his own death and then mm-hmm. he sees Thor just lose his crap because I didn't say the word. Lose his crap.
Good job.
To see, I mean, he saw all of that. So, I mean, it was just, I felt punched in the gut by that whole montage. I don't know how everybody else felt about it.
It was like, it was an emotional, I wouldn't even call it a roller coaster. It was just this constant, like, layers and layers opening up, and you could just see, and he did such a good job of portraying like every single step.
Yes.
That you would think that an actual character, you know, person would go through seeing something like that.
Yeah.
And going back to what we said earlier with what we saw with him seeing his death and what I think that did to his brain, that's why I love this Loki more than I love the Loki we've had. You have a crush. I'm in love. Cause this is,
we've had so I'm many very different close. Lokis.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Yeah, and I like this. I like how he's just sort of being torn down and torn apart. And Mobius is doing such a good job of that, of setting it up. And then it was like Loki couldn't help himself. He just had to keep, he had to keep watching.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you think you are eternal and all powerful and nothing's ever going to happen to you and you watch someone just snap, I don't know. That had to have just been the point where he's like, yeah, I'm gonna help these guys.
I mean, also at that point in Loki's life or existence, he still thinks he's a god. And then he watches himself die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he didn't because he and like he says it a couple of times in the he's like gods don't beg or gods don't answer or whatever he says and you know like the courtroom I think
and they laugh
yeah in the courtroom I think he calls himself a god at some point in time I think he calls himself a god several times and then you get to that point and I mean in his mind at that point in time he is a god he can't be killed. Then he just watches himself die. And I also find it interesting. I like the fact that we as the audience don't watch like Loki die. We watch Loki watch Loki die.
Mm-hmm.
So we like focus
you hear it.
On what he's saying. Yeah. You hear the bone crunch and then it's.
Yeah.
That was intense.
He deserves some kind of award or whatever for that. Throw them all scene.
At him. Oh Throw them gosh. All at him.
Okay. Scene 8. Loki gets his mission and he takes it. And I think Loki versus Loki is going to be an amazing plot. And I think we're going to see Loki versus Loki for the rest of the season. Yes.
Well, no? I know Lady Loki's coming.
Here's me just asking questions. So did that really, part of me was like, did that really look like Loki, like, is that really what we are seeing?
I have thoughts.
In the 1858 scene, or is it somebody else? And is Loki actually going to be fighting somebody else who's killing all the TVA agents?
Yeah.
My thought, I think it is Loki. However, I think that with how he was dressed with the lantern and everything, he looked a whole lot more like Odin than he looked like Loki.
Oh, see, I wasn't thinking of Odin, but...
I don't think it is Odin, but I think he's definitely going to be using different... It's got to be Loki, but I think he'll be using different personalities.
Yeah. Hmm. He shifts. Okay. I know he shifts because I know Lady Loki's coming. I will say, I didn't see Odin in that, but what I saw was it actually looks like the tarot card for the hermit. So I don't know what imagery they were going with. I didn't see the Odin, but I saw that. Because, you know, the hermit wears a cloak and he always holds out there's always a lantern he holds out guiding the way of lost travelers. So I don't know, it'll be interesting to see.
I'm gonna remain skeptical, I think, because I don't know what it is. And I know I'm the noob here, but I'm just saying, like,
you should be skeptical. It makes these a lot more enjoyable.
Right.
I wish I could be skeptical again.
I wish I didn't have these opinions. They get tired of me and Deb arguing at each other in comic book terminology. Oh my God, they're having a nerd fight again.
A nerd fight.
That is a show, kids.
Wait,
no.
I got what? One thing.
Okay, go
I got
ahead.
One thing. At 34 minutes and 15 seconds.
Okay.
There is a scene, Loki standing in a hallway. I think it's where he's running, running, trying to fight. The door opens and a TVA agent brings somebody in. I swear to God, that person is Peggy Carter.
It looks like Peggy.
I'm going to have to watch again.
It goes by so fast, but if you get up close, she has the same shape as Hayley Atwell. The hair is done like Peggy.
The blue-gray or whatever outfit. Yep. Yeah,
it's at 34 minutes and 15 seconds, folks. I would love to hear what our listeners think. Swear to God, that's Peggy. And that just tells me that she and Steve got in some trouble.
Well, because the time she went back in time. So what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
Or was she going back? Oh, sorry.
Well, no, go ahead. Then I'll. Okay.
What I thought, because I was like, that looks like her. Like, was she going back to search for him? I mean, if someone I was in love with disappeared, I mean, heck yeah, I'd go looking for him. So I wonder if that just struck me. I didn't think anything about like Steve going back and to be with her. Like my thought was, what if she was trying to find him and got in trouble?
Yeah. Well, and
if it's even her, but it looked like her.
It looked like her. I mean, the thing is, they say that everything that the Avengers did with the Infinity Stones is what was supposed to happen. But was Steve supposed to keep one to go back in time to be with Peggy?
It's a good question.
What is the TVA going to do about that? So I think that's interesting. Now, like Michelle said, that's not necessarily Peggy. Sure looks like her, though.
So let's
Mephisto.
Let me ask these questions. I wish. Let me ask these questions real quick. What did you grade this episode? And so we can look back on the last, when we watched the last episode, what grade do you think this is going to earn by the end? Let's start with Michelle on this one.
I'm going to grade this episode as an A. You know what? I don't know. We're like at the beginning here, so I'm going to say it could go down a little bit. I don't think by much, but it could. We've got to see what else we've got in store. But I mean, it was such a good start to this.
Yeah.
And really, like I said, I didn't know what to expect, but this was really great. I liked it. So yeah. A.
Courtney?
I'm going to go B+. I'm going to say we're probably, if Marvel's track record for these shows holds, I think we're going to see it be in the A+ range by the end, if it holds.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've kind of been doing that. I mean, there was the wackiness of WandaVision, and then by the end, that was probably the best thing we'd seen at the time. And then it was the same thing with Winter Soldier.
Well, they unfortunately went down at the end.
I mean, I think compared to the beginning, it went up. I think we were spoiled because we liked WandaVision.
Yes. That's fair.
But I think, and I probably misunderstood, but I agree with you. I think the subsequent episodes in Loki are probably going to get better. I thought we were talking about this one.
Oh, yeah. If the track record holds, I think we'll be in the A+.
Yeah. I put it at a solid B because it was a little slow. I loved it, but it was slow. And you had this has to be. So I think that this can go one of two ways. If this doesn't go hardcore, jump on the soapbox and pre-chesh at the end, like the Winter Soldier, I think if it does that, you know, it's going to be a B straight through. If it does like WandaVision and just kind of keeps ramping up,
pulls your heart out,
it's going to be an
A+. Slings it against the wall.
Yeah, this has the potential to be an A+ TV show, which is saying something because I'm a hard grader.
This is Disney's, so far, this is Marvel and Disney's highest viewership numbers for any of its Marvel shows.
Premieres.
Yeah, for the premieres. We kind of figured that was going to happen, though, because they've just getting higher and higher and higher each time they release a new one. So.
Well, and it's Loki, you know, so already it's going to be ahead. So
the character who was only supposed to be in the first Thor movie and we were never supposed to see him again.
But he was just too good. Gosh,
that's exactly why.
Okay. So if you're watching this on the YouTube page, make sure you like and subscribe and share and comment and send it out to your friends. If you're listening to this, go to whichever podcast catcher you use. Give us 5 stars and do a review. And honestly, that really does help us out so much. I don't think you understand. Go to our website, www.iheartgeekshow.com. Use the com. We pay for it. Buy t-shirts, buy stuff. Yay. And until next
t-shirts.
Time, I'm Dub. I'm here with Courtney and Michelle. Keep on geeking on, guys.
You have been listening to the latest episode of the iHeart Geek Show. Make sure you visit our website at www.iheartgeekshow.com. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you check us out on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And keep on geeking on to all of you geek rock stars.